sitting there watching Little League World Series this afternoon, I was thinking, wow, that's really interesting. I like to watch that. Major League Baseball, Little League World Series, I was glued to it. What a paradigm shift that is. I'm going to read a rather lengthy text, so I'll just go ahead and I will give you the title of the message. Tonight I'd like to preach on a message entitled, Accept God. Accept God. I'd like to take a time to invite the Lord's presence into the service tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful love. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather, dear Lord. I thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, dear Lord, that it would be effective tonight, that it would accomplish your will in the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in the sharing of it. Dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help me not to be a hindrance to your work. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Accept God. Romans 9, verses 25 through 29. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in that the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel may be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and made like unto Gomorrah. That's Romans 9, verses 25 through 29. Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. It seems like we have come to a place in the world, in the course of events, that all that you ever hear is turmoil. All you ever hear is unrest. It seems like you don't hear a whole lot of positive or uplifting news. It seems that people around the world are searching for answers. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for deliverance. I don't know, perhaps it's the prerogative of man to always believe, it's never been like this before. But, I'm not sure. There's nothing new under the sun, I suppose. But, it does seem like the days get dark. Israel found itself in Egypt. Speaking of the Israeli people, the children of Israel, and they came to a place where all they knew was bondage and heavy labor. Life wasn't fair. They didn't have 40-hour work weeks. They didn't have vacation time. They didn't get all of the benefits that we seem to enjoy in this country often. But they had a hope. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Their difficulty, their circumstances, caused the children of Israel to remember their God. I think sometimes we begin to think, oh, well, everything's going good, everything's fine. You know, I'll get around to thanking God for the things that I have sometime down the road. He knows that everything's going good today. But then, when dark times come, it seems like revival breaks out. I don't know whether it's convenience. I don't know exactly what it is. But there were a set of circumstances that brought the children of Israel to finally call out to their God. And when they did that, God heard them. I often am amazed sometimes in my own life. I go, why did I get to this point before I earnestly called out to God? Was it because I was confident in my own manner of getting things done? Was I thinking, oh, I've got everything under control. I don't need to look to God in this circumstance. I do know that Israel called out and there was a God who answered. Except God. Now Israel had arrived in Egypt by a miraculous deliverance. They didn't arrive in Egypt as they did into other bondages. What happened when they went down to Egypt? They went down to Egypt. It was a form of deliverance. It really was. There was famine in the land. They would have starved. But God sent a forerunner before them through miraculous circumstance, placed him into high position in Egypt, and brought them all down to Egypt where they withstood the famines that were in the land. And then over the course of time, they eventually became into bondage. But it wasn't an immediate thing. It was kind of thing that evolved through decades of practice. But it wasn't always like that when they found themselves in captivity or bondage. Because there was a time that they were in Babylon. And that was an entirely different set of circumstance. Was the bondage different? Was the oppression different? Perhaps not. But how did they arrive to captivity in Babylon? Through domination. Through military defeat. Through an embarrassing carrying away of. They had allowed themselves to disregard God so much that God gave them up. And they found themselves once again in bondage. And this time, it wasn't like a friendly thing. Come on in here. And then there arose a king that knew not Joseph. It wasn't like that at all. They were led in captivity into Babylon. And when the Chaldeans conquered people, they would say, well, part of the spoils of war is we'll take the wise men. We'll take the learned people. We'll make them a part of our think tank, so to speak. The book of Daniel tells us that there were four young men who were so called, and they were brought into captivity in Babylon. And their king, the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar, was troubled by dreams. He couldn't sleep. He was troubled by, I don't know, you would say, well, he's the most powerful man in the world. And at that time, perhaps he was. He was the great conqueror. He was the undefeated. And yet he couldn't sleep at night. He had trouble. He wasn't able to sleep. He was troubled in his dreams. He looked to his advisors for help. And what does advisors tell him? We can't tell you anything. We're just men. 2 Daniel verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Here we're the learned people. Nobody asks us these things. They know that we don't know these things. It's not possible for men to know these things. You think Nebuchadnezzar was satisfied with that answer? Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, well then what good are you? I've been feeding you. I've been housing you. We'll kill them all and get new people. Wow. Talk about taking the meat axe to the bureaucracy of the government there. It wasn't just, oh, well, we'll hire some new people. We're going to execute all of these people and we'll get new people. Except God. God placed it in Daniel's heart to know. Because the king didn't even tell people. I'm troubled in my sleep. He said, I've got a problem. You guys help me with it. What's the problem? We don't know. But God spoke to Daniel in his dream and said, this is what the king's thinking. This is what the king is dreaming. So Daniel went before the king and said, my God has revealed this to me. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king. But There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he laid them all out for the king. Why? Because there is a God in heaven. There is a God who can reveal the secrets of men. There is a God that can overcome the strife and the division, the hurt, the turmoil of the circumstances of this life. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. That's 2 Daniel verse 47. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. I'm getting them all. Mix it up. Except God. Except God. I've been thinking a little bit. You know, if you could boil the Bible, all of the Bible, down into two words, what do you suppose they would be? Jesus saves, good answer. I am. That's what I think. I think if you were going to reveal all of the world, all that you need to know from this book, Jesus saves. I am. I exist. I am still God. I am still King of Kings. I am still Lord of Lords. I am still here. I still hear your prayers. I am. I exist. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. Except God. I think people are looking around and they're seeing all of this stuff, and it seems like in pop culture, in movies, in everything there is, they make a mock of God. My daughter was watching some kind of television drama, and they were making all kinds of, I don't know, it was kind of a spoof. We had fairies and demons and angels, and they were all looking for purgatory, and it was next door to hell, and if we could gain dominion over hell, then we would have ultimate power. And I was thinking, how odd. I mean, it's just farcical and crazy and cartoonish and stuff. But if they lump all of that together, I actually heard one line of dialogue from it was, you know, oh, I'll call upon the angels. And the person replying was a fairy and said, well, that's that old magic. We have the real magic. This is the powerful magic. And I was thinking, okay. What kind of message is that? Nonsensical and farcical. And they lump God all together with it. I am. John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Notice the difference in tenses. Before Abraham was, before he existed, I am. I didn't say I were, I was, or I would be. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am here, I am tomorrow. I am. Except God. And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God a few things are possible. Occasionally, once in a while, perhaps at the outside chance, there may be a slim possibility. And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. That's Mark 10:27. Except God. My voice is given out at just the right time. Luke 1:37. For with God, a few things, only the really difficult things, only the truly insurmountable things shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. I hear that a lot. There is no way to turn around our nation. Our nation is absolutely, positively, morally corrupt, bankrupt. It is gone beyond the pale which even God can reach. He can't go down into where we are at and draw us out of it. Please. With God, all things are possible. Well, things are so dim and dark for Israel, and things are so bad, and around here and there in the world, there is nothing that can save us from these circumstances. It is just too dark. Except God. For with God, all things are possible. And it says, with God, nothing is impossible. You cannot get beyond God's ability to deliver in whatever circumstance. Except God. Revelation 3:20 reads, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if any nation hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Except God. I'm going to close with a very poignant, and I think timely scripture. These are words that would appear in red in your Bible if it's a words of Christ in red. What did Christ have to say to people? Yes. He said, peace. Peace. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Except God. You can fall into a very dark despair. You can be overwhelmed by depression. It seems like it's in the news too. Except God. Except God. I'm going to read it one more time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. So tonight, Nathan, your voice is strained. Yes, it's been a lively, active day for me. Singing, Sunday school, church. You know, sometimes in Nathan's life, things get, you know, a little troubling, disconcerting. But you know, there's never really an excuse to despair. Because no matter what you look at on the circumstances from the outside, nobody has yet been able to ascend into heaven and to knock God off of His throne. It hasn't happened. And it will never happen, that's right. God said, I am. And all of the other stuff are promises of who He is, a revelation of what kind of God He is. And He's not a distant, uncaring, unloving God. He is very present help in time of need. There really is no need for us to be troubled, to be worn down, or to be in despair. Is anybody here tonight that needs prayer? Anybody here tonight that would like hands laid on them and be dismissed in prayer otherwise? We're going to be dismissed in prayer. And if you would like prayer, please feel free to come forward. I'm not pastor, but I'll do what the Lord allows. Let's be dismissed in prayer.